Okay.
You want to tell me your name and where you live, and we'll start from there.
Well, I'm Harriet Gibson. I live on Six Mile Road, where I've lived for the past 69 years. It's been a pleasure.
Mm-hmm. You live on 6 Mile near where?
Near Sheldon, just west of Sheldon. Right at the present time, there's only one house within a mile of us, west anyway. We don't have any neighbors.
How large you live on a farm?
Well, it was a farm. It was a 160-acre farm that my dad had, and he had to sell it 20 years ago. And he retained 2 acres with the house on it and some of the buildings. And when he passed away, well, he left it to my sister and myself, and that's where we live today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an old farmhouse. My grandfather bought it in 1882. And it's still in pretty good condition, but as you know how old houses go, there's lots of things that could be done to it. But it takes time.
Now, you were telling me earlier that it is really a centennial farm.
Well, it could be, but we've never made application for it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it isn't a farm now, it's only 2 acres, but I think that my dad always told us that the house was built in 1835, I believe.
Really?
So it's an old house, but it's been kept up pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Very few changes have been made on it.
Now, how long have you lived in Northville?
Well, I've lived in Northville for 69 years.
69 years, at that same place.
Same address.
And you were how old then?
I think I was 3 when we both. I was born in Owosso. My older sister and myself were born in Owosso, and my father worked for the was a civil engineer with the Ann Arbor Railroad, and my uncle was still working, and my grandfather was still working the farm. And at the time, as my dad always said, they were making more money milking cows than he was working on the railroad. So he packed up his family and moved back to the farm, and that's where he's been ever since.
Let me pause just a moment. What is your earliest recollection of Northville, Harriet?
Well, that's awfully hard to say, because I guess I wasn't paying too much attention to things that were going on. But I remember the buildings that were on West Main Street, just west of Center Street, and the Crow's Nest that was at this intersection of Center Street and Main Street, and also the street.
What was the Crow's Nest now? That's the first I've heard.
Well, that first you've heard of it? I have a picture of it. But it was, I guess it was the place where the bands went and played, because it was up in the air.
Oh, well, that was the one that was elevated.
Elevated.
I've never heard it called Crow's Nest.
Well, I always call it
I have been told about that structure, but I didn't.
Well, I always refer to it as a Crow's Nest.
Uh-huh.
And then I think I do, the streetcars coming up Main Street, and it came as far as that intersection. That was the end of the line, and then when they wanted to go back, they had to go back down Main Street, turn onto Griswold, and then back out onto Main Street, and then I guess it went on to Plymouth and Wayne, and I know I remember my dad saying that going to school, and he'd take the streetcar, the interurban, to Wayne, and then we have another one from Wayne and go to Ann Arbor.
Mm-hmm.
I guess those are the earliest things I remember about.
All right, now what about school? What's the earliest you remember about school?
Well, I went to Waterford Country School, which was located where the Meads Mill Middle School is now, and I went there through the 7th grade.
Did you walk to school?
Most of the time. Once in a while, our mother would take us in our old Model T Ford. I remember riding in that. And 6 Mile Road was a lot different than it is now. It didn't curve around. It came down over the railroad track and up a big hill. And we went, after 7th grade, we went into 8th grade and on through high school and went to Northville. But our family went to Northville, but all the other kids in the school went to Plymouth. And I don't know why that was, unless it was because my dad graduated from Northville High and he wanted his kids to graduate from Northville High.
How did you get to Northville High? That was a distance.
Pardon?
That was a distance, wasn't it?
Well, it was a mile and a half, but we were always taken. Either my dad took us or my mother took us. And quite often, I don't remember ever walking to school, but quite often we walked home afterwards down up Sheldon Road. And then after graduating from Northville High, and our class graduated from the theater that year. And after graduating...
Why was that?
Well, I don't know whether it was because they didn't have enough room or what, but I really don't know
what year was that?
It was the year 1935.
Was the theater the same place it is now?
Yes, it was the same theater.
Same building?
Same building.
Uh-huh.
And then I stayed home for a year, and I guess I was helping my mother out with the family, because there were three other kids after my older sister and I were born on the farm, and so I helped her out. And then in 1936, I started school at Michigan State, and I majored in home economics. And I graduated in 1940. And then I specialized in dietetics. And then after that, I went to Philadelphia and was interned for a year at a hospital in Philadelphia. And then I came back and went to work at Mayberry. I was going to be there for 2 years.
Tell me about Mayberry now. You went to work at Mayberry what?
Mayberry Sanatorium, uh-huh. Which is located north of Northville on 7 Mile Road. Between 7 and 8 Mile Road.
That is where the Mayberry
State
Park is.
Where the Mayberry State Park is now. I don't know, it's about 900 acres, I think. You might find some of that.
You went to work there as the dietitian?
As a dietitian. Mrs. McKenna was the head dietitian. And I think she had, as people used to say that worked there first, they came with the first load of bricks. I think she started working there in 1925. And
now tell us what the sanitarium was like, because many people nowadays don't realize that they were isolated and they lived there. Just tell us the situation
was. I don't know too much about that part of it, because I was concerned with the dietary end of it, and I didn't get out and mingle with the other people too much.
Yes, but they were housed there.
They were housed there. And,
the patients
were housed there under medical care of doctors that were specialized in the care and treatment of tuberculosis. And they were there until they were discharged. And now it depends, I don't know how long they were. Each one was there, but it was different for each one. It depended on how they got along with their doctors, I suppose.
Do you have any recollection at all what the average stay was for a patient with TB?
No, I haven't. You'd have to ask one of the doctors about that.
Yeah, I just wondered if you
have anything about that.
I know, but for the purpose of the record, they had children there, right?
They had children.
Young children? And they were housed separately?
They were housed separately. I think the first patients moved in 1921. I think they started building the place about 1917 in that area. I mean, first patients moved in 1921. And there wasn't buildings there that there were later on, but they kept adding buildings. And by the time that all the buildings were occupied, they had 844 patients.
844.
That included children, men and women.
Mm-hmm. And they had school.
They had
on the
school for the children, and they had school for some of the patients if that was what they wanted. And they had a library that was fully equipped. And of course, the library went to the patients. The patients would come to the library. They had a little store in the buildings, and somebody took little items around each day or whatever was ordered. They sold candies and the personal things that patients might need.
Mm-hmm. Now, where did the teachers come from? Do you remember? Were they the Detroit school system?
I think they were in the Detroit school system.
Because
I think they were.
It was called, it was operated by the city of Detroit, but
yes,
it was.
Yes.
What about entertainment for the patients because they were confined? Was there anything like that?
Well, they had occupational therapy, and which was quite extensive. They had a special section where three occupational therapists, and they had patients that would come to their area, or they would go to the patient's area, depending on how they were getting along or how they were being treated. Well, they had entertainment, but I can remember that they had one time, this was a couple of times, that they had the barbershop quartet and their organization come and entertain the patients. They had different areas for patients according to the way they were they're coming along with their treatment. There was one area where they didn't have to stay in their rooms all the time, but they had free access to the area.
Many of the doctors and nurses lived on the grounds as well, didn't they?
They did. They
the
had
quarters.
A. They
Tell
had
us
a,
about that.
They had a building they call the doctor's home, and they had a building what they call the inn, where the people like the ones that worked in the labs or the ones that worked in the offices they lived. They had one for the. I don't want to call them the common workers, but the workers that were in the kitchens or that were worked on the floors, they had an area where they lived. And then eventually they had houses built, individual houses built on Beck Road, where different doctors lived with their families.
Mm-hmm. They belonged to the city as well?
Yes.
I remember a Dr. Howard. He lived on 8 Mile.
Yes.
Did that building belong to
yes.
the city?
Did it? That's been moved. That house has been moved over onto further over on Beck Road, and someone bought it and they refurbished it.
Dr. Howard was the in charge, wasn't he?
He was superintendent.
Superintendent.
He was superintendent.
So there were 800 and some patients. Have you any idea how many employees they had? Approximately.
Well, I wouldn't want to even say it. Now, they're listed in this publication.
Okay, let's just take one moment. I thought perhaps we could find it in the book, but obviously it's not listed. But we did run across something there, though, that you may want to mention on the tape. That was on page 35, wasn't it, about?
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about?
Well, it was Man on Wheels. They had an ambulance that operated between Mayberry and Detroit, because quite often some of the patients had to be transported into Detroit. Some of the patients originally started from Herman Kiefer Hospital, and from there they were transported to Mayberry. And then they had food service, which was taken to the patients. Food was prepared in the kitchens and taken out on the floors and served hot from food conveyors. And they had whatever wheelchairs that rolled patients to treatment clinics. And then there were books brought to the patients through the librarian.
Still must have been a lonely existence for many of them.
Well, it was. And a lot of them, I suppose, didn't even have patients that came parents or family that came to see him, because I suppose people were afraid.
And it was a distance to travel, right?
Yes.
Which is why you had quarters out there. In those days, that was a distance to go.
And most of the people that worked at Mayberry, at least when I worked there, or then before, were from around Northville area. And then they started coming from Detroit. So that by the time that Mayberry closed in 69, there were a lot of people from Detroit.
What about the interaction, if you will, between the sanitarium and the town of Northville? Obviously, the mail came in to Northville.
It did, and then
where was the shopping done, for instance? I mean, the food shopping and things like that that was done in bulk, was that done by city purchasing?
Yes, done by city purchasing. No, none of it was done through Northville. It was all through city purchasing. It all came from Detroit.
So there wasn't necessarily, what about, obviously they couldn't leave to go to church or to the movies
but they had their own chaplains. I think that was in here someplace. They had their own chaplains. There was Father Kelly. I remember Father Kelly and Reverend Quickmeyer. They were there for any time the patients needed them, and they did have services on Sundays for those patients that were able to leave their rooms and go to a central area.
Did they have an actual little chapel set up?
They did have a little chapel set up.
Did they, for instance, show movies?
I don't remember that they showed movies. Now, they may have, but I don't remember that they did.
Of course, you, as a dietitian, you probably, you worked days and had your weekends off, did you?
Well, when I first started, I didn't have weekends off because I had to take whatever was available. It was during the, probably days off during the week, but after Mrs. McKenna retired, I was elevated to head dietitian for a few years until Mayberry closed.
I was thinking if you were not around on weekends, that would be when most of the entertainment would have been.
That's right. And that's a lot. That's when most of the people came to visit, too, was on weekends. That's when they had time off to come see their family.
Wasn't it a law that the patients had to win the hospital if they were diagnosed as being tubercular? They had no choice, or was it? I'm vague on that.
I think so, but I wouldn't want to say, because I don't know too much about that part of it. But I never was, I never had any fear of contacting DB, because when we went there to work, we were always told what was expected of us and how to take care of yourself so that you wouldn't be overly exposed to.
Do you know of anyone, for instance, that you knew that ever contracted TB from a patient?
No, not while I was there. I know there were some people working there who had been previously patients. One of the women that worked in the front office had been a TB patient, and one of the occupational therapists had been a patient.
It was a fairly life-threatening disease back then, wasn't it?
It was.
Now, when did, I'm sure there's much more we can talk about, but can you think of other things about Mayberry Sanitarium that might be of interest to people? As you thumb through, you can go ahead and take time to thumb through the book if you want to.
Well, I can't think of anything. It's all in here, but I'm not too familiar with the treatment.
Well, I don't think that's anything that people would be that interested in.
But it was a nice place to come. It was out in the country, it's out in the woods, and it was real pretty around the area. And I think that was one reason, I guess, that people didn't mind too much being confined there, but it was a confining situation.
I imagine that there was quite a bit of camaraderie with the employees.
There
too,
was.
The fact that you yourselves were sort of isolated from the general public, or working out there the way you did.
There are some in this booklet on the Mayberry Manual, there are some interesting articles in here, particularly this one, a tour of the sanatorium by Dr. Steininger, and he at the time he wrote this, he was a patient.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes you on a trip through the grounds and describes the buildings, and he says one place here, he says, our winding road has brought us now to the central cluster of buildings, the hub of sanatorium activity. And I've always heard the story that Mr. Mayberry, when they were building the area, he had a team of horses that he walked behind, and he just let them lead the way, and that's why there's the roads are so winding.
Oh, why was it named Mayberry?
Well, it was because of William Mayberry's part in funding it, I guess, funding the building.
Who was William Mayberry?
I'd have to look in here.
Oh, go ahead. Did he own the land there?
No, but the site was selected by the board membership, which consisted of several doctors, and one of them was William Mayberry.
Oh, he's a doctor.
He was, it doesn't say he was a doctor. It says, well-to-do and unoccupied, he devoted much time and great energy to the project. First called Detroit Municipal Tuberculosis Sanatorium and later Spring Hill Sanatorium, the institution acquired its present title in 1927 in recognition of services rendered by Mr. Mayberry, not doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it was been called Mayberry Sanatorium.
That's very interesting.
And he as I understand it, he contracted TB.
Did he?
And was a patient there. I guess he died there, but I don't know too much about that.
Now, that was operated under the Detroit City Health Department, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. In connection, I guess, with Herman Kiefer Hospital, because a lot of patients came from Herman Kiefer.
Well, Herman Kiefer had an isolation area, too, didn't they, for TB? You don't know what determined whether they'd come to Mayberry or stay there.
When it was first planned, the institution was to house 300 adults and 100 children. The infirmary was occupied in December of 21. And then shortly after that, came the wards A, B, C, and D. And then in quick succession came the completion of the powerhouse, the children's unit, and the inn. And the inn was where the office workers and the teachers lived. If they stayed there, some of the teachers didn't stay there. They built back and forth.
Okay. Okay. Now, when did Mayberry close?
Mayberry closed in 1969.
1969. As a result of what, do you remember?
Well, up that until that time, a lot of tuberculosis sanatoriums had been closed, and I suppose it was because of the medications and treatments that had been used recently. They didn't have to be confined in the area.
At one time, I knew the name of the drug that was strepsomycin, whether it was something like that. At one time I remember that one particular miracle drug that just practically eliminated TB. But I don't know what, I think now, don't they treat them on an outpatient basis? They don't have to be in time. And of course, what was then Mayberry Sanitarium is now Mayberry State Park,
which is a beautiful park. I've been over there several times, and it is a beautiful park. Have you been there, Marla?
No, I haven't.
It is.
A lot of my neighbors take their children there, but I still haven't been there.
It says this was written by the superintendent of Mayberry at the time, and this was about 19. '41, I believe, and this is what he said. The ideal of the sanatorium is to do all it can to help restore health. It aims to give good nursing and bedside care, to house and the patient comfortably in healthful surroundings, to supply him with palatable and attractive foods, to offer him occupational diversions when he's ready for them, and finally to establish and maintain such relationship with the individual patient as will make the sanatorium stay a cooperative journey toward health restoration. This is a picture of Mayberry as we strive to have it. And it was a nice place to work. The people were congenial and got along.
Now, you were still working there when it closed, of course.
Yes.
And did you retire after that, or did you?
No, in order to work until retirement age, I had to go into Detroit and work at Detroit General Hospital for 3 years.
Oh.
Which was a totally different atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Is that Detroit Receiving?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Used to be called Detroit Receiving, and it was Detroit General.
Was it where old Receiving Hospital was then, or where it is now?
No, they were building the new one.
Uh-huh.
By the time I retired, they were building a new one. That was in the medical center, isn't it? I think so,
where it is now. Yeah.
Oh, I can't think of anything in Northville. Unless something would happen to come up that would bring back some particular activity of some kind, but I can't think of anything.
Well, now, being out on the farm like that, let's just talk about what your life was like then, and then you may think of something. Did you come into town for a lot of activities, like the movies and shopping?
Well, of course, we always came into town, either Northville or Plymouth, to shop. And we came into the movies, and when they have them for 25 cents, on Saturday afternoon matinees. We'd walk into town to sit and go to the movies. And I think that there was the same building that's right that's there now
where the Marquee Theater
is.
What was it called then?
I guess it was just the Northville Theater. They used to have a opera house in Northville. It stood on the corner of, on the southeast corner of Center, and you know, I can't remember the name of that street where the Cashline Funeral Home is.
Dunlap?
I want to say Griswold, but this is Griswold.
Uh-huh.
On the southeast corner of Dunlap and Center Street. And it's too bad that it wasn't saved. I guess Henry Ford at one time wanted to buy it and move it to Greenfield Village, but the people that owned it at the time refused to sell it. Because it housed other things. The theater was on the second floor. I was never in it. But just before they tore it down, someone went in and took some pictures, and it looked like it would be kind of quite interesting.
Now, by opera house, what sort of things went on there? You said you were never in it. Was it stage shows?
Yeah, it was movies. It was stage shows.
Like legitimate theater. I mean, plays and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
What about operas? Were there operas given to you?
I can't think of the name of the group that my dad referred to. I can't tell you any more than that.
What do you remember about the fair?
The county fair is where. Situated where the Northville Downs is now, and of course that was a big deal in the fall. Everybody had to go to the fair, and my grandmother didn't live too far from there, so we'd go to her house and park the car and we'd walk over to the fair, and she'd go with us, but she wanted to sit in the grandstand and watch the horses run around the track, because they had a track there at the time, in the same area that it is now. And of course they had all the trappings of county fairs, like, they had horses and cows, and they had cows from the Mabry Sand. They used to have their own farm, and they had cows and pigs and horses, and also the House of Correction had their own cows and horses and pigs and chickens.
Well, now let's backtrack just a moment. You said they had their own farm. Did the patients work on the farm?
No, the patients did not work on the farm.
Okay.
But the inmates from the House of Correction worked on the farm.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And they and so Mayberry had their own milk supply. They had their own area where they pasteurized the milk and bottled it.
They did? Now, the House of Correction, tell us for the purpose of record where that was located, because that's no longer there.
The building is still there, but it's not called the House of Correction. That's situated on the south side of Five Mile Road, just west of Beck. And of course, across the street from there on the north side used to be the women's division of the House of Correction.
Both of those were operated by the city of Detroit.
That was
for prisoners from the city, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. And they had a farm, too, which was a lot more extensive than the one over on at Mayberry, and they used to can vegetables. The women canned the vegetables, and lots of those vegetables were sent over to Mayberry to use for patients.
It's interesting. I don't think anyone would ever remember that part.
Maybe not.
They also, as I recall, didn't they have apples there too?
Oh yes, they had apple orchards. We got apples from them too for the patients. Yes, they did. They had an extensive farm at the Detroit House of Correction. And I remember that they used to have a beautiful garden on 5 Mile Road, and they had prisoners that took care of that. Mm-hmm. But nothing's... The prisoners don't do anything anymore, I guess. They don't have a farm there. Well, I think that was good therapy for them. Well, you said about my life on the farm. Well, we kids, there were 5 of us in the family, and we helped. I remember driving the horses on the hay loaders, and when they were putting hay up in the barn, we'd have to drive the horses, or a tractor. After we got rid of the horses, we had tractors, driving the tractors and to load the hay up into the barn. They used to have when they cut the hay, and they'd rake it up in windrows, and then they had this hay loader that they pulled along behind the wagon, and the hay went up the hay loader onto the wagon, and somebody was there to tamp it down. And later on, as things got a little more sophisticated, my dad got a baler so that he could bale the hay in it, instead of putting it up loose. That was a hot job up in the haymow. We used to go up in the haymow and play. I remember that. Nobody ever got a broken bone either, or stuck with a pitchfork or anything.
Now, Carrie, you said there were 5 in your family.
I had, there were 4 girls and 1 boy. And my brother was...
Give me their names and where they are now. Okay, still
Catherine was the oldest. And she and her husband live near Traverse City.
Did they have children?
And they have 2 children and 1, 5 grandchildren and 1, 2, 3, 4 great grandchildren.
What are their last names?
Thompson.
Thompson?
Thompson. And then there was then myself, who never married. Then John, he married Betty Carlson, who was from Northville, in fact graduated in the same class. They now live in Florida, and they have 2 children. One, their daughter, lives in England, and she has 2 girls, and their son now lives in Arizona.
Or in Arizona.
And Phoenix, Arizona. And I hope they like hot weather, because this past week it's been up to about 116. And then there was my sister Myra, who never married. She's the one that I live with on 6 Mile Road. And then there's Marjorie. She's the youngest. And she married Edsel Rutenbauer, who was in her class in Northville. And they live in Westchester, Pennsylvania. They have 4 children and 5 grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have any relatives in this area anymore at all, and it's kind of lonesome.
Did your sister Myra work? What sort of work did she do?
She graduated from Michigan State, I think it was in the 40s, but she never did go on with her work, and she stayed home to help my mother. And in later years, she was a big help, because my mother became quite ill, and Myra had the responsibility of taking care of the house and feeding my mother and my dad. She did a real nice job, better than I could have done. And Dad lived to be 90, and he was active mentally. and physically too, until almost the last.
Did he still farm?
No, he had to give up farming because it got to be too much for him, and my brother had helped him farm, but then when he moved away, there was nobody to help him, so he had to sell the farm and retain the 2 acres.
Now, what has happened to the original farm?
It was sold to a Mr. Haggerty, but Mr. Haggerty died, and I have any idea now.
It's not been developed
yet. No, it has not been developed. But I would imagine it would be someday within the near future. These things happen like real fast.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about the division between the town of Northville and the township as you were growing up? Was there a difference?
I never thought there was a difference, but there probably was. Mm-hmm. But I never thought there was a difference.
Do you know, for instance, your earliest recollection of voting? Did you vote in the Northville elections, or?
I don't remember.
Of local politics, you don't remember.
I'm not a politician, so I guess I wasn't very much interested.
One other thing which I usually ask people about the businesses in town, what businesses do you remember, such as grocery stores and clothing stores and that sort of thing, from your earliest recollection and where they were located?
Well, I remember Ponsford's Dry Goods Store, which is now run by Ponsford's grandsons, the Laphams. And I remember a shoe store run by the Stark brothers. That was on the north side of the Main Street. And I kind of remember the hotel that was on the corner of Main and Center that burned, and I don't remember the year that it burned, but I just barely remember that building, where that big hole in the ground is now, where they're going to put that new complex. And there was a grocery store on Center Street, and I can't remember the name of it. Oh, there's been a lot of changes, but I can't remember the names of the people. Well, I can't think of anything else right now.
Now let's say, you mentioned your high school graduating class. We didn't touch it, you know, we didn't talk about high school at all, which is all right. You said you had your graduation ceremonies in the theater. Do you remember how many, for instance, graduated from Northville High School?
I think there were, that year there was between 60 and 65.
Oh, that many?
And another thing I remember that about graduating at that time, we didn't have caps and gowns. And the girls all had to make their own dresses, the graduation dresses. And they were given prizes. I don't know who judged the dresses, but I don't know, first or second. I guess it was the second prize. And I still have my dress, but it's kind of coming apart at the seams. And my sister's class, too, graduated the year before in 34. The girls had to make their own graduation dresses. Of course, they were white with different colored sashes.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. What about the prom, for instance? Do you remember?
I never went to prom.
You did?
I didn't go to prom. I went to school in the morning, came home in the afternoon, did what I had to do at home, and then went back to school the next day. I wasn't involved in anything in the school's programs.
Mm-hmm. Now, when the tape was off, we were discussing some of the older residents, and you remember all of them and what they did, don't you? Like, you remembered Mary Jones was the florist?
She was the florist. I went to her florist shop quite often to buy plants or to buy bouquets for gifts for people.
Where was that located?
I think it was on Dubar Street, if I recall. And I know that there was a girl in my class, her name was Frances Cousins, and she and her mother and her sisters and brother lived on a house at the very end of Dubar Street, which is west of Rogers Street, right at the end of the street. And they used to have goats. And they always had goat milk. I guess the house is still back there, but I haven't been back there in many, many, many years. But it was a little house. But Frances Cousins was in my class, and I see her once in a while, but just in class reunions.
Is her name still Frances Cousins?
No, it isn't Frances Cousins. I think it's Frances Stinkin, as I recall.
What's the last name?
Stinkin, I think.
I just wondered if she had been interviewed.
She doesn't live, I think she lives in Plymouth. Transportation from Mayberry to Detroit, they did have a bus service from Northville to the Mayberry. That's the way a lot of people got to work, with the bus service from Northville
was
to
it
Mayberry.
A private bus?
It was
did they pick up passengers along the way and drop them off like a DSR bus?
This was a bus concern that ran from Northville to Five Points, and then from out to the Sands, and it was
Biddle's bus service,
and they'd pick up people would come out at the Five Points on city buses or streetcars, whichever the case was, and then take Biddle's bus out to Mayberry. When I started working at Mayberry, I didn't have a car. So for 4 years, my folks took me back and forth to work. And after 4 years, they started a bus service between Northville and, I guess it was Wayne, and it went down Sheldon Road to Plymouth, to Wayne, and it went at a good time, so I took a bus back and forth to work and changed to Northville.
Got
to work that way, and then I got a car. Mm-hmm. I can't think of anything.
Okay, now the transportation you talked about, the interurban. Did you ever take that and went to Detroit?
No, I never did. I only know about what my dad used to tell us about the interurban. But I know that we had to wait for it to cross a 6 mile road when we were going back and forth to country school, because it went along Northville Road, between Northville and Plymouth, it went along Northville Road and it crossed 6 miles, and if we were walking to school, we had to wait for it to go by, but I don't remember riding it.
Well, I want to thank you for your time. It's been very, very interesting. And as I told you earlier, when this is edited, I'll be bringing a copy out for your approval.
Okay.
And I'll give you a copy of it. So thank you very much, Ms. Gibson.
Well, it's been fun. Thank you.
Okay.